Christmas time. The weekend, I don't know about you, but it was busy for me. We were gone, seemed like every night to a party, different things. And over the last couple of days, I had some good conversations with different people. And people at this church. And the main theme of it was just love for one another. And I thought about it, and I thought about our church, Eagles Way, and I thought, man, everybody at this church loves one another unconditionally and will be there for you no matter what. And they have your back, I promise you. And I just began to think about how awesome our church is and how awesome the people are. All the people come up here, the band that's here every Sunday, the different folks that put in time for this, just love one another. And we love you guys. And we're just really glad that you're here today during this Christmas time. I wrote down one thing that I thought was pretty cool that I've been learning a little bit, and it says, love and forgive as he loved and forgave. And that's how I want to live. I want to love and forgive folks just as he did. So thank you for being here today. Let's worship the God that is our wonderful counselor and our everlasting Father. Stand and let's sing. we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son here on earth, Lord, to save us from our sins, God. We're so thankful for that. In this season, Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. You are the first, you go before. You are the last, Lord, you're the encore. Your name's in lights for all to see. The starry host declare your glory in the highest, glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God. Light of the world, the bright and morning star. Your name will shine for all to see. You are the one, you are my glory. The glory in the highest, glory in the
the stars in the night I wonder. At your lightning in the sky I shudder. Your glory is a blanket that covers every living thing. I'm in awe at the majesty of who you are. Your love is a seal burnt inside my heart. All of the day Lord, we just thank you so much. In our weaknesses, you are strong, Lord. That you bring forth love and peace through us, Lord. That you allow us to be comfort and to be love in times of need, Lord. We thank you that our soul projects you, God. We thank you for the gift that you are. Your grace is overwhelming. Lord, we love you and we thank you.
the hope that you give us. We love you so much. You are so good. We love you, Lord.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving your gifts and your talents to this church. God bless you. Yeah. How are you? Good. You look great. Anybody told you lately how great you look? Billy, you look awesome. Just I'm telling. Everybody looking good. Glad you're here. This month is a series called Silent Night. Silence some things in our life that needs to be silenced and let some things get loud that need to get loud. How about that? Some things need to be silenced, some things need to get loud, right? Okay. I'm going to ask you something. I covet your prayers this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I'm doing a memorial service for a 19-year-old boy who took his life in Jackson, Georgia. And I really feel God's working some things in my heart to say to that family, and I really appreciate and covet your prayers at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you'll just remember me and lift me up in this special service that we'll be having for this young man to minister God's grace and love to them. Not a lot of things I demand, but there's one thing I always demanded from our staff, and everybody knows when they come on staff here, the one thing I want them to know how to do is how to do a funeral. And that's the only thing I've ever really demanded. When Keith started staff years ago, I took him to a funeral. I said, I want you to learn how to do a funeral because we don't do it like everybody else does it. And God spoke to me when I first started in the ministry. The very first funeral I ever did was a very close friend Mike and I grew up with. His name was Ronnie Mullis. And that was the first funeral I ever did. And God spoke to me then and said, I want you to always never go to a funeral service with a canned speech. Go with an open heart and an open spirit and listen to my voice and let me speak through you to people. And all these years, that's been something very critical to me. I don't take it for granted. I don't go with as a job. I go realizing this is a critical time in some people's lives. They're hurting desperately. And they need to hear a voice from the Lord that strengthens them and helps them through this difficult time. So I really covet your prayers this afternoon. Ushers will be coming as we worship God with our giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. How many are glad you have an opportunity to do something to give to God? You know, we don't have a lot of stuff we can do, but this is one thing that we can do that's just, it's a tangible gift that we can literally give the Heavenly Father. And we bring that to the Lord. How many know it belongs to Him anyway? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Matter of fact, it all belongs to Him. So if He wants it, He's got it, right? All right, two or three of you believe that. So all right, Father, thank you that we have an opportunity to come and worship you. Thank you for sending your Son to this earth that we may have life and that we may have it abundantly and that we may have it eternally. Thank you that we know that you love us. We know that you care for us. And we give you honor and praise and glory in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. For him? All right.
Pastor is not just taking 2 weeks off just to take 2 weeks off. He did have surgery. He's just doing better than he thought he was going to be doing. But I love the opportunity to be able to speak and to share. I study kind of all of the time. You know, you're reading and thinking and studying. But when you know that you have to stand before people and then share what you've been looking at or reading and studying, you give a little bit more time and attention to that and to some of those details. I thought Dusty did just an absolutely incredible job last week talking about silencing the negative thoughts in our lives. And if you missed that, you need to make sure that you go to eagleswaychurch.org and click on the watch button. Anytime that you miss a service, usually by, it's not guaranteed, but usually by that evening sometime, it is up there for you to be able to see or share with somebody. You can take and click on that and share it with a friend, especially if you have a friend that is unchurched and needs a place where they might would consider, because if they watch it in their own home and they feel comfortable, guess what? They might then would consider coming here and feeling comfortable. Silent night, O holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Now, probably everything in your world at this moment, well, maybe this moment, but in this December moment, is not all calm. There's things that are going on. There's planning that is taking place. There's parties that are being go to, figuring out how you're buying, finding out somebody bought you a present, so now you got to figure out how you're going to buy them a present. Those things that we kind of do in America. But this talk is going to be talking about how do you silence the stress in your life. How do you silence the stress? I think Pastor's going to talk next week on silencing your fears, so you don't want to miss that either. But silencing the stress. Back years ago, I'm dating myself bad, but right before I was ordained a pastor, there was a song that came out, a group called the Second Chapter of Acts, and the title of the song was Mansion Builder. And I went back and listened to it online, YouTube, and man, it was old. And man, it was a really horrible song from the aspect that it just didn't sound that great. But there was a phrase in there that stuck with me really strong. So much so that in 1991, I wrote it into my Bible, and I would visit it quite often. And that phrase is, why should I worry? Why should I fret? Because I have a mansion builder who's not through with me yet. And I want you to think about that for a little bit while I'm talking today. Why should you worry? Why should you fret? Because if God is really alive and well in your life, then He's not through working on you yet. Now you have to make sure that you are willing to be worked upon and open to receive that and allow God to do some of the things in your life that He wants to do. But you've got to accept that. So what is stress? You go to Google and you type in meaning of stress. It says a state of mental or emotional strain resulting from adverse circumstances. Stress is sometimes also defined as the pressure that is put on something. And I have a few objects here that if you take and you apply pressure on these objects, they're all different. One is short, one is real long, one is medium size. They're made out of different materials, but they all can receive some type of stress. And what they do under that stress is important. Every person in here is different. Your makeup is different. The way that your parents raised you, what has been imparted to you has all been different. But we all have the Word of God. And our makeup, as we take and we digest the Word of God, it makes up who we are and how we live and what we do. It doesn't take a lot of stress for this little object to break. And it's no longer worth putting into a can of paint. Because if you do this now, you won't get to the bottom. It's broken. Take an object like this, and it's long and straight, and it's pretty durable, but it bends a lot. And gets bent out of shape. If I take it back, it's gone back to almost straight. But if I were to hold it in that position for a long time, sorry, I didn't mean that piece to fly over that way, it will still break. And it will get to a point. Then you take an object like this, Matter of fact, these are holding all of these beams up, whether you realize it or not. This is the type of thing that is holding these poles where the lights are on. But I can't. Now, if I took my foot and I stood on it, and I might could get a bend into it. But for the most part, this is resilient to that pressure. And holding these beams this way, it can endure quite a bit. Grab a hold of it and hang on it, and it would hold me because there's so many that are there. But in dealing with stress, I don't know of anyone in here that has been able to figure out how you do away with adverse circumstances. It's going to happen. They're going to come your way. You're going to have to deal with it. Whether it is a financial situation, whether it is a physical illness situation, whether it is a relational situation, you're going to have to deal with stress. And when the stress comes, when that pressure comes, what are you going to do? How is it going to happen? See, stress, another word that we're going to talk about is the stress. It says that it's a state of mental and emotional strain from the adverse circumstances. It brings about anxiety. Anybody ever dealt with some anxiety? Let me tell you what it is before you raise your hand. Anxiety is feeling of worry that brings unease. Now, if you've been at Eagles Way for any point of time, and you've been in any kind of counseling in any way, whether it was pastoral counseling or biblical counseling or professional counseling, you've probably heard the term, feelings are neither right nor wrong. It's what you do with those feelings. Anybody ever heard that before? Okay, I got a few of you out there. So if the feelings are neither right nor wrong, that means anxiety coming, that feeling is not right or wrong. It just is a feeling that is there. So you then have to make a determination of what you're going to do with feeling, because the next word that I want to talk about is called worry. Okay, worry's definition is to give way to anxiety. Allow one's mind to dwell on difficulties or trouble. So if your stress is applied, pressure is applied, you're going to have a feeling of anxiety. That feeling is neither right nor wrong. But what happens is we allow ourselves to give way to that anxiety, to give way to that feeling, and we begin to worry. Now, if you worry long enough, it leads you to the last word that I'm going to talk about, and that is fret. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? Because I've got a mansion builder who's not through with me yet. Fret means to be constantly or visibly worried or anxious. To be constantly, all of the time. When somebody says Keith Wesley's name, do you think, oh, that person is uptight and anxious all the time? No, you don't think that about Keith Wesley. You think Keith is just laid back, calm, cool, and collective. Now, does Keith ever worry? Probably so. Does he fret? I don't think so. Because he's not constantly and visibly in a state of being worried or anxious. I want to read some scriptures to you. Psalms chapter 37, verse 7. Because I want to give you some biblical examples of things that we have a tendency to worry and fret about. We worry and fret about things that can hurt us, or people could hurt us. 37:7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or even fret about their wicked schemes. You don't have to worry about things that are going to happen. Things, people hurting you. A lot of times We have a tendency to worry about what's going to happen around us. Actually, Luke 21, before I go there, Luke 21 verse 12 says, "But before all of this occurs," and it's referring to the end times, and that day, the destruction of Jerusalem, "but before all of this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You'll be dragged into the synagogues or prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because of you are my followers." So the church at that time was very anxious. They were very worried. And Christ said, "But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges that will come against you. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you." He was giving them peace. He was saying, "Listen to me. I am going to have the words for you." They were worrying about something that was going to happen in the future. How many of you know most of your worry, most of your fret is about something that may or may not happen in the future? Acts chapter 20, verse 7. "On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper, and Paul was preaching to them. And since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight." Sounds like maybe he was just going on and on, trying to belabor the point just a little bit, trying to get it across. "The upstairs room where they met was lighted with many flickering lamps. As Paul spoke on and on, a young man sitting on the windowsill became very drowsy." We need to turn the AC on in here. I see a few eyelids that are drooping in here. "Became very drowsy, fell sound asleep, and dropped three stories to his death below." Sounds like a bad day. "Paul went down, bent over him, took him into his arms, and said, 'Don't worry, he's still alive.' Then they all went back upstairs, shared in the Lord's Supper, and ate together. Paul continued talking to them until dawn." Till dawn. That means the next morning. He kept talking on and on. "Meanwhile, the young man was taken home unhurt, and everyone was greatly relieved." Now, you may not have ever read that story before or realized that story had transpired and taken place. But they could have worried and fretted. They could have wondered, why in the world would he talk so long and keep going for that young man to fall asleep? Some of you have been like, why do they allow a young man to be sitting in a window anyway? He should have been out of there. We go to all of the extremes and take all of those things and get our minds working and going and fretting and worrying to where we don't have a clue of what really is important anyway. A young man fell three stories to his death, was awoken, and a miracle took place, and they went back to the Lord's Supper. They began focusing again on what was really important. We have a tendency to worry a good bit about our possessions. Matthew chapter 6 verse 28 says, "And why worry about your clothing?" We've all heard this. "The lilies of the field." Well, we know that we don't wear petals. But we have a tendency to worry about some of those things. Maybe it's not this year's model or last year's model even. They don't work or make their clothing. "Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? Well, some of you go, well, it's easy to say, what? Don't worry about what shall you eat when there's food in the pantry. But when there's not food in the pantry, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? Romans chapter 14. Verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy." Living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Last month, Pastor took the whole month talking about the Holy Spirit and the need for the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how it is to guide us and direct us and empower us and encourage us and to strengthen us, and how you take that and you use that. And if you use the Holy Spirit, that you seek after righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. How do you silence the stress? How do you not worry and fret? You start by being in right standing with God. If there's sin in your life, you ask for that forgiveness of that sin. You then move on to the next step. Righteousness, right standing. You then have peace. You know, I was thinking about the disciples when they were on the boat and Jesus went up into the bow of the boat and fell asleep, and they were heading across the lake. I think you might remember the story. And the storm came and it just was billowous, and they thought they were going to die and Jesus was still asleep. They were all in turmoil. And they woke him up and he just said, "Peace, be still." The peace was already there. They just were not experiencing it because they had chosen not to. The peace is there in your life. It doesn't matter what storm you're going through, what financial difficulty, what ailment, what sickness or disease you're dealing with. The peace is there. You just have to grab hold of it. Joy. I can't have joy right now. I've got too much going on. I can't have joy right now. There's too many things bad happening or can happen. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you want to silence the stress in your life, it's a simple matter of you making the necessary steps to consciously do that. Doesn't mean that adverse circumstances aren't going to be there. Doesn't mean that there isn't going to be pressure applied that causes you to have to be strong in some times or areas. Dusty's message was, silence the negative thinking. And stress can only happen if you think negatively. Pressure can be there. You know what? This isn't really feeling me do this. It's not, it doesn't it's easy for this thing. Not some of those others. But it was fortified. It's strong. It's used the word of God to build itself up. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Don't just tell Him what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Continuously. If you continue to be in need, don't just keep praying for your need. Thank Him for all He's done. Thank Him for what He's doing. Thank Him for what His word, the promises that He said He's going to do. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The second Sunday of each month, we've set aside as the time for sacrament of healing. For coming, not that you can't come to the altar or to the church or to the pastors or the eldership at any point in time, day or week, doesn't matter for prayer, you can do that. But we make this a special time, a sacrament of the church, where you can come and you can be anointed with oil and you can be prayed for. Some of you this morning may need to come because you're in a state of worry and fretting, and you need that to be silenced in your life. And what we're going to pray is that you are able to take the principles of God and apply them, because He's already given you righteousness, peace, and joy. You just have to grab hold of it. Take ownership of it. You may have the storm of physical things going on, surgeries coming up, or things that have been diagnosed that you don't like what the doctors are saying. God wants to give you the strength and the encouragement and the healing through that process. You may have financial things that are coming your way, and you don't know how in the world you're going to make it through or God is going to provide. Remember the lilies of the field. If everyone would stand. And you're here today, and you would like for the eldership to pray for you, to anoint you with oil, pray a prayer of healing for your body, for your financial situation, for your emotions of dealing with worry or fret, I ask you just to come and stand across the front here and let us pray for you.